remain standing. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. Revelation, chapter number 1. Amen. I am glad that He did and does, amen, care for us and save me by His grace, amen. Put me in His family and allowed Him to be in His church, amen. Sister Emily Vincent is in the family, and after tonight she'll be in the church, amen. And we're going to have the baptism here in just a few minutes. Pray for her. She's recovering from having her wisdom teeth cut out. And then Anna is having a problem with her ears hurting her, ear infection. And I know Trevor had that earlier in the week. I don't know if he's still going through that or not. But good. Amen. Feeling a lot better. And we're glad for that. And I know there's a lot of health issues around us. But I'm glad God's able to touch our bodies. But especially I'm glad He's able to save souls. Amen. Able to do that work that no man or doctor could do. Amen. Look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. We read verse 7 and 8 this morning. I just preached verse 7. So let me look at verse number 8. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the privilege again to be in the house of God. The privilege to rejoice in our salvation. As Sister Sharon sang that song about remembering where we were, if people could only see where we were when Jesus found us, in our filth, in our loneliness, in our depravity. Lord, I want to thank You that I remember where I was, but I'm glad, dear God, You brought me out of that place. And I want to thank You, dear God, that we stand today by the grace of God, standing to testify of what our Lord said in this verse, that He truly is the Almighty, that You, dear God, truly are able to save to the uttermost them that will come to God by the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray now for these in need. I do pray for Mrs. Hall, that You touch her body. And Brother Hall, as he sits by her side and prays and tries to be a help to her. Lord, I pray for Brother Mike Moody and the struggles he's been going through. I pray for these here in our auditorium tonight that's not feeling well. Lord, I pray for Miss Emily that You'll help her about those teeth. And Lord, that You'll give her strength and bless her in this baptism. I pray, dear Lord, for Miss Anna that You'll help her ears. And then others, Lord, their bodies that are hurting, backs and necks and different problems and pains that we're facing. Father, I pray that You'd meet those needs. But dear God, I pray especially that You'd draw sinners to Your side tonight. Lord, that You'd let the gospel message go forth, not just in this auditorium, but over the airwaves, dear God, that the Spirit of God take the good seed, sow it, dear God, in some good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I pray, have Your way and get the glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm preaching tonight on verse number 8. This whole series of messages I'm calling the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation. That's what the book we're looking at. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And the word revelation means unveiling. He's revealing Himself. Taking the veil down. Letting us see Him as He truly is. Now, I've preached 5 messages so far on those first 7 verses. And talk to you a little bit about how this book's broken down, these first 3 chapters. And that's what we're going to try to cover. I'm not going to go over that again tonight. But just simply remind you that this section we're looking at, verse 4 through 8, these 5 verses contain the greeting, and it gives us a little bit here, the salutation as John is writing this letter to us. And I mentioned to you that there's 2 primary parts. In verses 4 through 6, there is the course of the age. And he goes through telling us about what this message is for and what it's about to do. And then verse number 7 and 8, he gives us the consummation of the age. It is the climax. It is the peak point, the pivotal point, that is the great point and purpose of the writing of this letter. And we talked about verse number 7 this morning. We looked at the announcement of His coming. Behold, He cometh with clouds. And I'm glad He is coming. Amen. And I'm glad He has announced it. He's not just coming as a surprise, but He's announced to this world that He is coming, although they don't believe it, although they'd rather He don't. I'm glad He is coming as He said He is. Amen. But we saw the announcement of His coming, and then we saw the amen of the Christian. Amen. As John said there in the last part of verse 7, even so, amen. As a child of God, I don't dread the coming of the Lord. As a child of God, I don't fear these last days. Amen. As a child of God, I don't have to be afraid of what's coming down the line. I know evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Amen. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I know that's going to happen, but I'm not deceived about that. I'm not in the dark about that, because I know the book and I know the Savior that wrote the book. Amen. And so I can say, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. But tonight I want to look at verse number 8 and show you the acclaim of Christ. The acclaim. Here is what He is. This is His statement about Himself. If you have a red letter edition of your Bible, part of verse 8 is in red letter. And there is some debate as to probably all the verse ought to be in red letter except the part that saith the Lord, because it's all His statement. Let me read it to you. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus is not just telling us He's the Alpha and Omega. He's not just telling us He's the beginning and the end. And He is telling us He is Him, or He which is, which was, and which is to come. Jesus is the Almighty. That's what He's saying. He's making that announcement. He's advertising that acclaim. Amen. In these verses that we're looking at. Now, in the previous verses that we looked at here, the Apostle John, as he addresses this letter, he announces his purpose and he admits his calling. He tells us who he is, what he's writing the letter for, and that he's only the messenger. And then in the previous verse, we saw the announcement of the coming of Jesus Christ and the consummation of the ages. And he breaks forth with the amen. Immediately after John gets beside himself, it looks to me like, in the Spirit, John gets all raptured up in the glory of God and says, amen. I see him in his soul saying, hallelujah, praise God. Amen. Deep down in his soul. As John is rejoicing there, the Lord shows up. Can I tell you that when we praise God like we ought to praise Him, He inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. When we start praising the Lord, He shows up. Isn't that something? Amen. He shows up, and I'm glad he does. So John is speaking about Jesus, and he gets caught up, and he starts bragging on God, and gets excited about that, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up and speaks for himself. And I say this again, there's just a side note about praise when praise is right. Now I'm not talking about the price is right, I'm talking about when the praise is right. And I'm not talking about this building up and putting on a promotion or putting on a production and some kind of a show. That's not what I'm talking about. A praise leader. Listen, we all ought to be praise leaders. Amen. Brother C.R. Kirkman said, somebody asked him, said, who's the praise leader at your church? He said, I am, praise God. Amen. We ought to be. That is the job of the pastor and the job of every one of us. We ought to be leading in praise to our Savior. If you've experienced what Miss Sharon sang about, you want to lead people to praise the Lord because He's been so good to us. Amen. But when the praise is right, Jesus shows up. But here's what's important. When Jesus shows up, He speaks for Himself. I've been in church services when people get to praising God and sinners get under old time conviction. You know why? Because Jesus starts speaking to their heart Himself. And by the way, listen, you need to hear more than just a preacher speak. Amen. You need to hear more than just your conscience speak. You need the Savior to speak to you. Amen. That is right. And so the Savior speaks for Himself. And if you notice, He speaks of himself in this verse. Jesus speaks of himself. It's a new style of language by this announcement of Christ. Here, in my mind, I was carried back to John's previous writing. John wrote the Gospel of John, and he began that by talking about the Word being with God, the Word was God, and he goes through all that, and he brags up and brings up how Jesus was there in the beginning. Jesus has always been, and we see that here, very similar, and that's what made me think about it. And then when you read the first epistle of John, John wrote three epistles, and in the first one there, he again goes back to Jesus, which was in the beginning, and how that he'd had fellowship with the Father and with the Son and all those things. But in this particular space, John's not just telling us this about Jesus, but Jesus tells us this about himself. Jesus reveals himself. It is a peculiar declaration of the eternality and the infinity of Christ. Amen. It's a declaration especially suited to this book that's called Revelation. I want to read that verse again, verse 8. And I want you to let it sink in. Jesus is speaking, and here's what he's saying. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. In that one sentence, that one phrase, Jesus reveals himself for who he is, and we can simply say it in one word, God. Amen. There's a preacher back in North Carolina that I know fairly well. Preached a number of revivals for my dad and then a number of revivals for myself there at Vision Baptist Church. And his name is Brother Daniel Buchanan. Brother Buchanan years ago got an old school bus and he had somebody take and paint all over that bus like Chick does the Chick tracks. Had paintings of pictures like the judgment of God and that great day of judgment and different things that he had paint, that whole bus paint up. And he drove to the west, to the the West Coast. And he actually drove up to the doorstep of the Church of Satan and he stood and preached on the steps of the Church of Satan in California. He went down through San Francisco and he had a big sign on the front. The front sign, it said, Jesus is God. That's what it said. He said the homosexuals in San Francisco didn't fuss too much about that. He said the Satanists in California didn't fuss too much about that. But when he drove through the state of Utah, the Mormons got upset that he said Jesus is God. And the Jehovah's Witnesses still to this day get upset when you say Jesus is God. But I want to tell you, Jesus is God, and he said so himself. Amen. He is God. Amen. He's the Son of God, I recognize that, but He's very God. He is the revelation of all God is to us. And He mentions that in this one name that He gives us here. This statement Christ ascribes to Himself, that one special and incommunicable name, unable to pronounce the name of the Godhead. Look at what He said in verse 8 again. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus is saying that. Look back at verse number 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 4, that statement is not talking about Jesus. It's talking about God the Father. Because God the Spirit is mentioned next, and talks about the Spirit of God, and the Son's mentioned in verse number 5, and Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness. So in verse 4, God the Father announces He is He which is, which was, and which is to come. And in verse number 8, Jesus steps up and says, I'm the same. You know why? Because Jesus could say, I and my Father are one. He could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You don't have to say, show us the Father. He said, you've been with me all this time. Surely you've seen the Father. Amen. Jesus Christ is the revelation of the Godhead. He is all the Godhead wrapped in one. And He gives us that name. That name in full. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and the Lord which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. They tell me that that name, that whole phrase there could be summed up in the word Jehovah. That's what Jehovah means. It's the unfolding of that great name, Jehovah. When Moses said, who shall I say has sent me to tell Pharaoh to let my people go? God said, tell him I am that I am. You know what that means? I am that I am means I am He which was, I am He which is, and I am He that evermore shall be. He's the great I am, always present. Amen. He's the Alpha, the beginning. He's the Omega, the ending. He is everything in between. He's all in all. He's the Godhead. And that name is Jehovah. And Jesus announces that here in the Revelation in verse number 8. This great name Jehovah is divisible into its parts above, as we see here. I want to break this down and show you five things that this name describes Jesus to us. And I'll be done. I'll not be real long tonight. But I'll say this. That God, just like God cannot fit in a test tube, God cannot fit in space and in time, and God cannot fit into our language. We don't have words to describe how great our God is. Amen. Our language would fail us. Matter of fact, like the song said, to write the love of God above, even if the ocean was full of ink, it would drain the ocean dry. If all the sky was a parchment, He said there'd be no room to write it. Those stretch from sky to sky. Amen. John said this at the end of his book. He said just the things that Jesus did while on earth in those 3.5 years that John knew Him. He said if I wrote about all those things, He said the world couldn't contain the books if they're stacked up in the world. Amen. In other words, what He's saying is that you can't put God in one little sentence. You can't put God in one little corner. Amen. He'll break out on you. Thank God He will. Amen. And so by me trying to explain to you God and try to explain to you Jesus as He says it here in this verse, I have a lack and a limited ability to do so. But I'll try to show you using the words He used and show you what I believe He's revealing to us that He is God. And if you wanted a subtitle tonight, here's my title. Christ is the fullness of all things, both created and uncreated. Christ is the fullness of all things, both created and uncreated. For example, here we find, number one, if you want to write these down, number one, in Christ is the fullness of wisdom and knowledge. Verse number 8, I am Alpha and Omega. The Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. The Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. They tell me that even the Jews were used to using these titles. The first letter of the Greek alphabet is Aleph. The last letter is Tav. And they say that they would say, for example, that Moses got the law from God from Aleph to Tav. In other words, he got all the law from God. That's what they'd say. Well, and they'd say from the A to the Z, and that's how we do it. We talk about they went from A to Z. Maybe, for example, somebody might say, boy, Brother Shepherd preached so long this morning, he covered the whole Bible from A to Z. What they're saying is he covered it all. Amen. And Jesus, when He said, I am the Alpha and Omega, He's saying, I am all. Amen. I am all. I am all the alphabet. I am all the Greek that the Greek has. Amen. In that, well, in that, by the way, let me throw this in. When they still use that phrase, the Alpha. We talk about alphabet. Comes from alpha, beta. Two words, the first two letters in the Greek alphabet. I can't even say it without using that word. But in the Greek letters and numerology, then we take our language and we develop an alphabet which uses those words. But they use that word alpha. But you remember a few years ago there's a man running for president and they talked about him being an alpha male. What they were saying was he was the dominant man. He was the superman. He was the best man. He was the great man. Jesus says, I am from greatest. I am the greatest all the way down to the end. That's what He said. He's the pinnacle all the way down to the bottom. He's all that the Greek language and all that the Greek alphabet has to show. He is the fullness of wisdom and knowledge. He's all the letters of the Greek alphabet from beginning to end. Now, I believe that means that He's all that could be contained in the language of mankind. Because the Greek language was the world used language. It was a language used in the commerce of the world. The Greeks had been in power. The Romans came in later. And really all the Romans did, the Romans never really had an empire of their own. They just revived the old Greek empire. And used much of the Greek. Matter of fact, they even used the Greek gods and just changed their names a little bit to suit them so they could call them a Roman god. And so it's still a Greek power, and that Greek language was used all around the world. If you wanted to do something special, you learned Greek. Well, can I tell you, that's the way English is. Thank God, God gave us the Bible in the Hebrew language, the Old Testament, the New Testament in the Greek language, so the world can know it. And then He gave it to us in English through the King James Bible, so the world can know God. Amen. But even to this day, when you talk about the Greeks, if you want to study philosophy, you know who you study? The Greek philosophers. Because the Greeks had the knowledge. The Greeks are known as the connoisseurs of knowledge. They're known as the collector of knowledge. They're the ones that gathered the knowledge. When you go to college, all those fraternities and things, they use Greek lettering. It's all about Greek. You know why? Because Greeks are known as the wisdom. Greeks are known as the philosophy. Greeks are known as the higher education. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm all the wisdom of the world. I'm all the knowledge of the world. I'm above it all. I contain it all. Amen. Can I tell you, you might get too big for your britches, but you'll never get too smart to believe Jesus. You'd be a fool to disbelieve Him. You might get so smart that you think you can't believe Him, but that makes you, thinking you're wise, you become a fool, what the Bible says. Amen. People go to school, for example, and they get brainwashed into believing that this Bible is for a bunch of ignoramuses. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has the wisdom of all. He is always, a matter of fact, turn with me to the book of Colossians. Hold your place in Revelation because we're coming back. But then in Colossians, we're going to look there a little bit tonight. And I'll show you these things. I said it wouldn't be long. I'm trying to hurry because it's getting longer by the minute. These thoughts are running through my mind. Thank God they are. Amen. Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 3. I guess I need to start at verse 1 to get the sentence. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now here we go. He's talking about Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And here's, they say, if you want to know wisdom, go to the Greeks. Here's what the Bible says. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Amen. To come to know Jesus Christ, to come to reverence Him, to come to worship Him, is to really come into knowledge. Amen. It is the beginning of knowledge, is to fear the Lord. So when you want wisdom, stay with Jesus. He's got wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Isn't that what James said? Amen. So he's got the wisdom in Christ. Is the fullness of wisdom and knowledge. Hold your place in Colossians. Look back at Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. I am the Alpha and Omega. Here's my phrase. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Now He's not just the beginning of the alphabet. He's the beginning of everything. There was nothing, and God spoke the Word and made everything. Did you know, even science, it's amazing to me how science professes themselves to be wise, they become fools, but they try to deny God, but in their own language, they recognize God. The word universe, you know, the universe is everything, right? Everything that we know about and much that we don't know about is the universe. And the word universe means one word, that's what it means. One word. You know what started it all? God said, let there be, and there was. God said, let there be light, and there was. Somebody said He didn't even have to say, let there be. All He had to do was say, be, and it was. Amen. All He had to do was say one word, and it was. But before there was a word, Jesus was here. Amen. He, in the beginning, was the Word. He was already here before God spoke it into being. But when God spoke, there's not an ear to hear. But before any word could be spoken, Jesus was alive and well. Not in his human body, but as the Son of God, as God the Son. So he says, I am the beginning and the end. And so when it's all said and done, he'll still be standing. Thank God. Amen. So Christ is the fullness of wisdom and knowledge. Number two, Christ is the fullness of all creation. He says that, the beginning and the ending. He's called the firstborn of every creature. If you're in Colossians chapter number 1, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Who's he talking about? Look back at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So who is it that shed his blood for us? It's the Son of God. Who is it that is the firstborn of every creature? It is the Son of God. Jesus is the fullness of all creation. Amen. He was, or he is, the beginning. He is the beginning. Look at verse 18, Colossians chapter 1. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. He is the beginning. Not who was in the beginning. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him all things, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is the beginning. And he was in the beginning. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And so, as such, He is the Creator of everything, the heavens and the earth. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, look there. For by Him, He's still talking about the Son from back at verse 13. For by Him, verse 16, for by Him were all things created. By who? By Jesus. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Amen. So He is the fullness of all creation. John chapter 1 verse 3 says this, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen. So Jesus is the fullness of all creation. He was there at the beginning, and He'll be there at the ending. It means that Jesus is the circumference. He contains it all, as well as He is the center of it all. Amen. When we get to heaven, you know what will make heaven heaven? It ain't the streets of gold. It ain't the walls of jasper. It ain't the gates of pearl. It ain't mama and grandma that's going to be there. It's Jesus that's going to make heaven heaven. Amen. There'll be no need for the sun. You know why? Because Jesus is there. That's all we need. Amen. Amen. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So Jesus is the fullness of all creation. Jesus is the fullness of all wisdom and knowledge. Number three, Jesus is the fullness of all space. Look back at chapter 1 of Revelation, verse 8. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and saith the Lord. Here it is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. So He's the first and the last, as it says in, verse 17, Revelation 1:17. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead, and He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. He is the fullness of all space. Everything that we can measure, we measure space. At least we think we do. I get sort of amazed too. They tell you how fast a light year is because they know how far it is from here to the sun. I never seen a measuring stick that long, have you? And they ain't either. They tell you how far they think it is from here to the sun. Amen. They tell you, they talk about how old the earth is. They're telling you how old they think the earth is. Amen. Amen. And when they tell you that, what's a few billion years? I mean, they get close, just get close. That's the way they look at it. Amen. But I'm telling you, Jesus knows it all. He has all the knowledge because He is it all. And when we measure, we try to measure space. Jesus is from one end of extremity to the other end of extremity, whether it's space or time. And I'll get to that in time in just a moment. Turn with me, if you're in Colossians, go back just a few books to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 20. I'm talking about Jesus being all in all. He's the fullness of all. He's God, the Godhead. Amen. Christ is the fullness of all space. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so Jesus is saying it to John, and John's recording it and writing it to the churches, exactly what Paul wrote to the churches, saying Jesus is all in all. He's from one end of the heavens to the other end of the heavens. By the way, listen to this. The psalmist said, if I could ascend up to heavens, that you're there. If I could go all the way down and make my bed in hell, you'll be there. Amen. So Jesus is all in all, and he encompasses all of space. Number four, he encompasses all of time. He's the fullness of all time. He holds the past, the present, and the future in the palm of his hand. He is there. Not only he was there and he will be there, he is there right now. Before Abraham was, he didn't say, I was. He said, I am. Amen. Amen. When the end comes, he don't say, I will be there. He says, I am. He is. He encompasses all of heaven. Amen. Psalm chapter 90, you don't have to turn there. Psalm chapter 90, verse number 2. The Bible said, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That's the Psalm of Moses, when Moses was writing and glorifying God, and Moses bragging on God, and this comes to redound to the Lord Jesus. He is from everlasting to everlasting, from one end of the spectrum of time as well as space. He is eternity personified. That's the simplest way I know to say it. Look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, and I'll show it to you. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus is living eternity. He is the infinity of time. All of time belongs to him. Amen. And then last of all, I'm saying this is what Christ is. Look at verse 8 again. Revelation 1 verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Here's the last phrase. The Almighty. You know what Almighty means? It means he contains all might. He has all power. Amen. He has all power. He is the Lord omnipotent who reigneth. Amen. He is the Lord omnipotent to whom all power is given in heaven and earth. Jesus said this about himself while on earth. In Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. When he gave that great commission to send them out, to tell them to preach and to baptize and to teach them, amen, when he's telling them what to do, before he does that, he says, I am the Almighty. I have all power. Listen to me. The devil just thinks he's got power. The devil just pretends that he's going to conquer the church. But the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. All the strategies of the devil, all the plans of the devil, everything the Supreme Court says, everything the world says does not matter. Jesus is God and he's got the final say. Amen. And that's what he said. He has the fullness of all power. As the creator of this vast universe, as the sustainer of all life, as the redeemer of the souls of men, he is the Lord, strong in battle. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is mighty to save. Amen. He is and has victory over Satan. He has victory over sin. He has victory over the grave. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Almighty. That's what he's saying right there. Amen. He is the Almighty. By this statement of acclaim, Jesus reveals himself in this book of Revelation. Just beginning the book, he reveals himself. All the excellencies of knowledge, space, time, power, all fall at the feet of Jesus and proclaim him to be Lord of all. Amen. Amen. Thank God he has all that power. We see Christ in this book displaying all of his love and all of his power. Amen. Amen. I ask you this question. Why does Christ thus reveal himself to us? Why does he explain himself this way? And here's why I believe. That we might know that he is our every need. There's a song I think we played on the radio. I'm pretty sure we do. The Florida boys used to sing it. Jesus is right for whatever is wrong in your life. Miss Sharon sings a song. All your anxieties, all your cares, bring them to Jesus. Is that right? Bring them to the mercy seat. However it says it anyway. The idea is Jesus answers all your need. He has the answer to every need you have. Amen. I'll just throw it out this way. If you need salvation, He is mighty to save. He is ready to save. If you need peace, He is the Prince of Peace. If you need wisdom, He is all wisdom. If you need a companion, He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. I say, what do you need? Come to Jesus. You can find what you need in Jesus. He reveals Himself so that we can know Him. Amen. So that we can know and experience. And really, so that when it's all said and done, we'll be able to say, amen. That's the truth of what He said. I've got some verses written down here that I'll read to you, and then I'll give you the invitation. In John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. You know what Jesus said? He said, I've got what you're needing. This woman had five husbands and was shacking up with a man that wasn't her husband and was still unsatisfied. And Jesus said, I've got what you need if you just ask me. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who can come to Jesus? All ye that labor and are heavy laden. John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I'm glad He don't turn anybody down. Amen. John 7, 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now I ask this question while they come, while we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and they come with a song. I ask this question. What more could you ask? Jesus is all you need. He's all in all. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege to stand and try to proclaim really the unproclaimable. I try to explain the unexplainable. How great our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Lord, I know because I feel it in my soul. Because I've experienced Your greatness. I know of Your greatness. But I cannot explain it. I can't put it into words. Father, I pray that You'd help somebody else today would come to know what we're trying to explain. They'd come to see Christ as exactly what they need, whatever it is. They'd trust You with all their heart, casting all their care upon You, and be saved, be settled, be satisfied for Your glory and honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, do business with the Lord. The altar's open. Would you come?